Hello, and welcome to Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Sisters, I got to watch a great movie last night.
I bet I can guess what it was.
I can't. I'm okay.
What? Josie and the Pussycats.
That's right.
Oh, that's right, because your husband was tweeting about it.
He was.
And he picked it. He said, I have a movie that I have to watch for a podcast that I'm listening to, and so I need you to watch it with me, but I don't think you'll mind. And I said, okay. No. And then he turned on Josie and the Pussycats.
And you only would have been happier if it would have been The Princess Bride.
Yes, that's true.
The only movie.
But Sid, you should know that the soundtrack came out on Spotify not too long ago.
I heard that. Somebody tweeted that. I've got to get it.
Got to get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I forget how good that music is.
It's so good. It's so speaks to me, and like generationally, like it's very much like, yes, yes, I feel all of this music. I feel this pop. I say punk with a little P.
Yeah, it's a little baby P punk.
It's P punk. P spelled P E A.
It's a little punk. I love it. I love the movie. I love how self-aware it is. It's so funny. I love the fashion. I love everything about it. It's amazing.
Such a good movie.
Such a good movie.
It is a good movie, but it is just one of those movies that I think doesn't bridge that generational divide as well as maybe some others. Because there are some movies from your all's like your adolescence that I watch and I'm like, yeah, that's a good movie, and I'll watch that willingly. And there are some movies that you show me, I'm just like, yeah, but like, it's just so 90s. It's so 90s. Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's so 90s.
Well, it's because though, I think the concept that like corporate America is secretly trying to sell teens
things. Oh my gosh, that
through subliminal
that's the
messaging.
Whole plot of the movie.
I think that we're at a point where you accept, Riley,
I understand corporate America is trying to sell me things in every facet of my day-to-day life.
Well, but not only that, I think that your generation, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like that you willingly engage with those vehicles, like influencers is one of the main thing I think about. Like, how do you know what's cool, what's trendy? There are a lot of influencers who are paid to tell you or show you. And you willingly engage with that system in full knowledge that this is what's happening. Like, you don't really think that celebrity loves that lipstick brand above all else. You know that somebody paid them.
Well, it's not subliminal anymore, because on all those posts, you have the little top thing where it's like, this post is a paid sponsorship.
Right.
Like,
right.
I know these people are getting paid for this. And I mean, it's even just ads you see on Twitter or Instagram that are like just straight up advertisements. I'm still going to buy things that look good. If I see a YouTuber I watch whose hair looks really shiny, I'm still going to buy their shampoo.
They could have saved the whole plot of that movie would be ruined by today's current generation.
It would.
They're like, you don't need subliminal messages. Just tell us what you want us to buy. They probably will.
They could have just paid Josie and the Pussycats for a sponsored ad on their Instagram page.
Orange is the new pink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wear that and then post about it, and we'll pay you $100,000. Like, that's all. That would have been the whole movie. It would have been like, you can keep making your music. Just make this sponsored Instagram post and maybe like include us in your next like music video somewhere.
Their outfits are really jerkin'.
Oh.
Was one of the subliminal messages orange is the new pink?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that leads me to question, wait, where is the color orange lobby that paid for that advertising?
You know what's funny?
That's not a product. That's just a color.
That's a color.
You know what's funny?
That's a good question.
Nobody in the movie, none of the advertisers in the movie paid to be in the movie.
Really?
Well, if you look, I mean, that's part of the joke, right? Like, the movie is just covered in branding.
In product placement. Constant
product placement. As soon as they become famous.
Right.
And that's part of, like, the joke. Nobody paid for that, which makes sense because there's so many brands constantly being presented. I can see where it's like, you're not featuring McDonald's.
Right.
It's just there next to the Target and I don't know, all of the 90s makeup brands and clothing brands. And
I guess that makes sense.
A lot of a lot of like shiny, glittery, pleathery things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was that. It was that. Early 2000s is what we're really talking about.
Yeah. All items of clothing were made from the same, like, pink to lavender goo full of glitter just expelled in different platforms.
It really is. It really, but I gotta be honest. When I see those clothes that they're wearing, it's so... And even the clothes that they wear before they, like, become famous, like their casual looks... Melody and all those handkerchief tops, Tara Reid wearing all those handkerchief tops and those low cut pants.
Yeah.
I look at that and that still speaks to like, oh, I want to wear that. Like, that's still my gut because that's so ingrained in like, that's cool. That's so cool. I so want to look like, I don't know why, but like that is where I come from. Yeah. I connect to that so deeply that it's like a subconscious thing I can't even control.
I think maybe Charlie's generation is going to be that one that brings back those fashion trends. Because my generation, we've already established, has brought back all that, you know, late 80s, early 90s, the mom jeans, the mm-hmm. grunge, the Doc Martens, the crop tops, the you know, butterfly clips, all that kind of stuff. Charlie's generation is going to be all low-cut jeans and handkerchief tops and
plastic,
shimmery.
Plastic
jelly, shimmery eyeshadow.
They just look so cool, though. And their music is so cool. Everything about them is so cool. Anyway, also, Parker Posey appears to be having the time of her life in this film. She's amazing. She's a treasure. Mm-hmm. She's funny. I just don't think that's mentioned enough.
I don't know what it says about me, but I just think of that little food tray that she has.
I know.
Like the six Pringles like that. I just, for some reason, my child brain like encapsulated that. I was like, I want one of those one day. I don't care about all that, the money and the cars, but I hope I'm rich enough to have an assorted snack tray. I didn't understand how food or money worked as a child.
I love that old scene. She picks up a Pringle, puts it on a plate, picks the Pringle back up off the plate, starts to put it in her mouth, and then drops it and goes, oh, I'm such a pig. It's everything. It's just...
It's very silly.
Anyway.
Now, there are three of them.
What?
Josie and the Pussycats. There are three of them. Three people.
Yes.
Yes!
There are three of us.
Oh, okay.
Who are we all dressing as for Halloween this year?
Oh, what? Okay, well, let's see.
Okay,
group
you're
costume.
You're very clearly the Melody in this situation.
Am I?
Tay, I think the question is which one of us is Josie and which one of us is Val. Oh.
But I was going to say you have to be Val because Val's the more like, Val's the smart, serious one.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
But I was going to, I assumed that Riley was Josie and I was Melody.
Guess that makes me Melody.
No, I thought you'd be Josie. I was like, I'm the silly one that says dumb things.
Hey. Sydney.
I meant that Melody is still so, you know, like, optimistic and full of hope.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because that's me.
I don't know.
Where's a quiz I can take that tells me which one I am?
I'm sure you can find one. I'm sure there are many. I know I'm not a Melody. I know that. Nothing against Melody.
I'll happily take Josie. I was willing to take the Melody. That's like taking the L. I was going to take the Melody.
I'm thrilled to be Val. I didn't think I'd get Val, but I think Val is the strongest of the three. Love Josie, love Melody, but
oh yeah.
Val's the real winner there.
Nine.
Val is the reason, well, she says it in the movie. Val's the reason that they became successful, really.
It's true.
Right.
She led them there, for she is Spartacus. That's a quote from a different movie. That's also based on a quote from another movie. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It just makes it seem like we're doing a whole episode on Josie and the Pussycats.
It does. So we've just decided that our astrological signs are Melody, Valerie, and Josie.
That's valid. Valid. Yeah, we were going to talk about astrology because I understand, Riley, that it's making a comeback.
Yes.
Did it go away?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's always something that, like, mom was into. So,
well, I think it was, I think you could, it would be fair to say that it was probably at its peak popularity back like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it was a lot more like common to like everybody just talked about it in casual conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas like, to my mind, it's like, well, that's that fun thing some people are into. It's not really my bag.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I remember middle school, high school, always kind of like, oh, well, I'm a, you know, a Virgo. I'm a Pisces. But, like, no one really knew what that meant. Mm-hmm. Mom always just told me, because she told me, I mean, she was the one that introduced me to all of it. Like, told me what she was, what you all were, what I was, and kind of what that meant. And then there's, like, the horoscope things that you could look at that was just very broad. Like the day-to-day mm-hmm. ones that all kind of were the same that mm-hmm. you would get like an app for, or the ones that you would just look online, it told you kind of what your astrological sign meant. But I didn't get into it. And I still know people that are more into it than I am. I have like roommates, for example, that are like very into like knowing what all the different planets mean. I didn't even know until like a year ago that there was that your sun sign is the one that you usually know about, like your birthday mm-hmm. but yes. then there's like your moon, your rising, your Mars, your Jupiter, like all the planets have a sign and all of them control or supposedly control different aspect of your personality. Mm-hmm. I didn't know all that until I met a friend at the beginning of my freshman year of college that was like, let me do your whole chart and tell you about your entire personality, not just that you're a Virgo.
Your nativity chart.
Yeah.
That's
what it's called. And now I have like this app. I know Taylor, you and I were talking about it, called CoStar. Mm-hmm. And all my friends have it pretty much. You put in your whole time and place you were born, all that kind of stuff. It gives you your whole chart and you can look at your friend's chart. It gives you like a little daily thing for your day based on your chart and then what you're having problems with, what you're having power in, what your pressure is in, like all these different things based on your entire chart. And you can look at other people's. Very, very big. Like, I always knew about astrology and always kind of knew, like, what each sign meant. But it wasn't until very recently that I knew people and met people who are getting really into and teaching me how to get into, like, the whole thing.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think part of it is kind of like when you talk about, like, why people like BuzzFeed quizzes, like, everyone kind of likes hearing about themselves or like having someone tell them about their personality. Mm-hmm. Like everyone wants to know which Josie and the Pussycats character they are because you want to know like more about you as a person. And I think that astrology is kind of like that in a sense where it's like, oh, well, this is why I'm like analytical or logical or why sometimes I'm more emotional than I am, you know, mature and thinking about things, like those mm-hmm. kind of things about your personality that almost help you like understand yourself better. And I mean, I know people that are like, why would you read into all that? All of it's fake. And like, I'm the kind of person that I like reading into it every once in a while because I think it's interesting. And I think it's cool to read about yourself and know about yourself based on like the planets and where they were when you were born and like what effect this might have on you as a person. But also like if people want to get really into it and like chart out their whole birth chart and go deep into what it all means, like go ahead. Like even if you're someone who doesn't believe in it at all, it doesn't affect you in any way. It's not negative for someone to just get really into astrology. Like it's a cool thing to know about and to learn about. And even like I'm not someone who, I will admit, I don't know the most about it. I kind of know what like sun, moon, and rising mean. Beyond that, it's just like I can't fully understand all of it. There's just too many signs, too many planets for me to get it. Not that I don't want to, it's just a lot. But like, just let people be into what they're into. Like I think it's cool, and if you don't, then just don't read about it. Don't get into it.
I agree. I do think I feel like some people can kind of make it too serious, and I feel bad sometimes for certain signs. Like, look, I'm a Capricorn, and to me it's like, oh, that's boring. I do math and I'm boring. But I really feel for the Scorpios, and I've had Scorpio friends be like, yeah, I hate astrology because I'm a Scorpio. It's like, oh, everybody thinks you're a demon. Like,
yeah.
And like, you know, certain signs, it reminds me of like, in Japanese culture, like they're really focused on blood types. Mm-hmm. And there's literally like a like the B blood type gets a lot of hate because they're like the outliers. They're the ones that don't get along with people. They're very selfish. And like there's even I can't remember the term in Japanese, but it's literally like hate, like people like have prejudice against people with B blood types. Like getting a job is like if they see that, like, oh no, you're not going to get along in the team. You have a B blood type.
You're a mud blood.
Yeah, it's like I hope like they'll catch on that much. They look at your resume and they're like, wait a second, like you're a Scorpio? No, we don't want that drama here at our restaurant.
It is funny because that mom, of course, is very into astrology, and that was something she said right off the bat when I started dating Justin.
He's a Scorpio.
He's a Scorpio.
That's right. Yeah. He is.
And it's funny because he's one of the least Scorpio people.
And that's always,
you know, and I mean, he's there's nothing manipulative or whatever about the J-Man. He's very nice and open and kind.
Yeah.
And kind of undermines a lot of the stereotypical things. But then my guess would be that somebody who is really into astrology would say, well, let me do his whole chart. And I'll explain to you why.
Because
his moon? What's his rising?
Yeah.
There you go.
And I don't know.
That was always my whole question with astrology before I had someone actually sit down and explain all of it to me was like, well, I'm a Virgo. And I honestly, most of the time, usually fit a lot of the broad stereotypes that come along with that. But I knew people that were also Virgos who I thought were very different from me. Or like I have one roommate who's an Aquarius and another friend who's an Aquarius, but they are both very different people. And then my roommate who is really into astrology sat me down and was like, okay, that's your sun, which is a lot of your personality. But the way that your energy is determined, the way your chart should be read is set by your rising. And the way you make certain decisions, the way you react to certain things is determined by your moon. And you have to look at everything. So like, the reason I feel so strongly I fit the Virgo stereotype is because I am a Virgo sun and a Virgo moon, and I am a Capricorn rising, which also shares a lot of personality traits with Virgo. So she said that's why you feel like you identify a lot with that stereotype, because all of it goes in there. See, I'm like a Virgo squared.
See, I'm a Capricorn sun, but then everything else is Pisces. Oh, no.
And see, that makes sense, because...
That's mom, why you're so much like mom.
Yeah, mom is a Pisces, and mom was always like, Pisces are creative and artsy and you know.
No, it's like composed, like got it together, outer shell, with just a tumultuous sea of feelings on the inside. It's like, I am so together, I am so focused, I am so like practical, but oh, please, somebody just love me. Talk to me about the stars.
What is it? There are those book titles based on each sign that were going around for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Pisces was the art of forgetting I exist and last minute cancellations.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. I mean, yeah, that, yeah.
What was the
mom.
Virgo one that you told me that I felt fit me very
well? The title was just disgusting.
Yeah.
Which I felt like that's Riley a lot of times looking at things just going, disgusting. Disgusting. Mine was how to lose friends, which is totally fair. That's Aries. That's how to lose friends by Aries. Yep, I'm very good at that.
I saw on Twitter, oh, here they are. They were astrology pencils. So, like, they were all writing pencils, but each pack was dedicated to each sign. And, like, they were all different colors based on, like, the color palette, I guess, of that sign. But then each of them had a title, like a little phrase. And the Virgo one said things like, I excel in random worst-case scenarios. Let me overthink that. I cough, now I'm dead. Nobody's perfect except Virgos. And, like, they have all of these packs for all of the signs. And they just, like, I always find things like that so funny. Like, yes, please tell me. Please read me and clock me because of all the worst aspects of my astrological sign.
Yeah.
I think there's an inclination, not just because if we're all being honest, we like talking and thinking about ourselves. And we really like when other people talk and think about us, too. Like, oh, no, you tell me about me now.
Yeah.
We do, and that's okay. That's very human. That's a very normal thing. But we also like, I think that it's nice sometimes to be able to put yourself into like a framework and feel like you make sense. Like your actions and your thoughts and your feelings make sense. I think sometimes that can help you figure out where you fit in the world. And I'm not saying that it's not always a good thing. It's a double-edged sword. I think that it can constrain you at times if you buy into that too much. But I think that on another level, it's as harmless as like everybody has picked their Hogwarts house.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I am limited by my Hogwarts house. It's like a fun thing I identify as for fun, but I don't think that like I have changed fundamentally the way that I interact with the world. And I think astrology can be, for some of us, as harmless as that. It's like an interesting way of looking and thinking about yourself, but it does not define what you're going to do tomorrow. Right. I'm not going to go out and make decisions based on the fact that I'm an Aries.
Yeah.
You know?
I honestly, there are people I know that I think get like, oh, why would you pay attention to astrology? Like, that's not real or whatever. Are the same people that when I tell them, I'm like, honestly, every time I take the Pottermore test or like a BuzzFeed quiz about which Hogwarts house I am, I'm always 50-50 split between Ravenclaw and Gryffindor. I'm usually never one or the other. Or I always go back and forth. They always get offended. Like, no, you're one or the other. You can't be both. This isn't divergent. Like, you have to pick one. There has to be one you're most like. And I'm like, what? It's a fictional world.
This
what,
is a
what
different fictional world. It's not divergent.
It's Hogwarts, and you can only be in one house. I'm like, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, I don't really get to go to Hogwarts, so this isn't a problem I have to concern myself with.
Is that why you're double majoring, Riley?
Yeah, because
I got a double major in Hogwarts.
I'm an English major because I'm a Gryffindor, I guess, and I'm a political science major because I'm a Ravenclaw.
I feel like that would be the opposite.
I would put the opposite. Yeah. But you're forgetting a crucial element to this.
What?
The sorting hat takes your preference into consideration, you know, so.
I don't know which one I prefer.
You could have just picked.
Yeah. I know, but
you
like, honestly.
You would have ended up in one.
But which one's, and then I can't pick. I'm very indecisive.
If only there was a sorting hat, you wouldn't have so much homework.
Exactly.
I know we're like, aha, no one takes their Hogwarts house seriously, but I've definitely been in conversations with people. Like, I remember vividly a conversation with someone who was talking about a friend of theirs who had like a weird awakening where they'd always identified it as a Hufflepuff, and then they realized, you know what? I'm a Slytherin, and they completely changed as a human. And I'm like,
that's a shift.
I could believe that happened, though.
That's two ends of the spectrum right there.
Right? I would say that's a life change.
I would say that, I have many thoughts on that. But, you know what? Before we explore using Hogwarts houses to guide your life decisions,
let's check the group message.
Okay.
I almost said let's go to the money zone. That's not our show.
No, that's not our show. That's probably like a TM violation.
I'm sorry. Justin, please don't.
Justin, don't
please
sue
don't
my
sue
sister.
Get sued by your husband.
Still Buffering is supported in part this week by Dashlane. Now, what is Dashlane, you may ask?
What is Dashlane?
is a password. We've done ads for them before. You really should know.
You Dashlane asked us to ask.
is a password management app that solves all your how-to password problems by keeping all your online information safe, secure, encrypted, and easy to access. The great thing about this is if you're like me, the idea of having to remember, it's not that I couldn't remember multiple passwords, but I would never remember which one goes with which
for sure
thing. That would definitely be a problem. And then nowadays, because, you know, passwords have to be so fancy, they can't just be like 1234 anymore.
Can't be password. That was always my go-to.
They can't be password. They can't just be your cat's name.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it can be.
They need like numbers and characters and capitalizations. They've got to be really complicated so that you can keep everything safe. And Dashlane is going to remember all your passwords and also like which things they go to, which is key. Because if you try too many of the wrong thing, like a lot of things will kick you out. Yeah. And they'll autofill all your login information, syncing automatically across your computer, your phone, your tablet. It even stores payment details, which will save you a lot of trouble and a lot of typing, too.
Yeah.
They can generate super strong passwords. So if you're not sure, is this password secure enough? Dashlane can cover it for you. and you don't have to worry about it getting lost because they hold it in an ultra secure password vault that only you can unlock.
I like the idea of an actual vault that's just called the password vault, and there's just words floating around everywhere.
It's a virtual one.
It's just full of post-its. Yeah. No, they're very professional. It's not that.
It's not a safe full of post-its, we promise.
I just have a drawer full of post-its. It's better than that.
So, Taylor, if our listeners want to check out Dashlane, where should they go?
All right. You can go to dashlane.com/stillbuffering, and you can get Dashlane free on your first device. As a special offer for Still Buffering fans, they're even offering a 30-day free trial of Dashlane Premium, which includes VPN, dark web monitoring, and more. If you like it, use code STILLBUFFERING at checkout to save 10% on your premium subscription. So head on over to dashlane.com/stillbuffering.
Sisters, I want to tell you about Away, the makers of world-class luggage.
Ooh.
We've talked about Away before on here, but I love Away as a college student who is always on the go, always going on trips, always on the move, moving between houses and dorms. Away is the bag I go to because they designed a bag that solved a few old problems like sticky wheels and a few new ones like dead cell phones, which I think is maybe one of my favorite parts of an Away bag, that you can charge your phone out of your bag. You don't have to find one of those crowded, you know, outlet stations at the airport. Mm-hmm. Just charge it from your bag. I think that was the best part. One of the trips I went on with my class of students at school, they were all trying to find somewhere to plug their phone, and I was like, y'all, don't even worry about it. Look what I got right here in the back of my bag.
You were the coolest one.
I was the coolest one, all because of Away. And they have 9 colors and 4 sizes, and all the carry-on sizes are compliant with all major U.S. airlines. They also offer a 100-day trial and a lifetime warranty, so if anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for you for life. So you get, you know, a wheel that doesn't work anymore. I know that I carried around a suitcase for a really long time that just didn't roll because mom dropped it. So I just kind of dragged it around the airport for months. But that's never happened with my Away bag. But even if it ever did, they would fix it and replace it for
so
you.
So if mom drops your Away bag, you're covered.
Yeah, there I'd be go. Covered, which I hope she would never do. I like my Away bag too much. So Taylor, if our listeners want to check out Away, what should they do?
Well, you should go to awaytravel.com/buffering and use promo code buffering during checkout for $20 off a suitcase. So you can get $20 off. Go to awaytravel.com/buffering and use promo code buffering at checkout. I have to say, my one complaint with my Away bag is that now that I have one, all of my friends want to borrow it all the time. So I often don't have one. It's like, I didn't know that was a problem you could have in life. Too many people want to borrow your cool suitcase, but Away has made that problem.
Yeah.
So if you get one, don't tell your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, keep a secret.
So back to astrology.
Yes.
And not just Hogwarts houses.
Yes.
I think that it's funny. It could be, again, I can see this in both lights, because I like to think about a lot of these things as almost kind of like therapeutic tools.
Yeah.
I've said this before about like the way that I personally approach things like tarot cards, because our mom likes to read our cards, or anybody's cards. She'll read anybody's cards. Mm-hmm. She doesn't take money for it.
She refuses.
She's very serious about that. It's always for free.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be a problem for anyone, but
I think the only people that would be a problem for are people that do charge for their readings. And they're like, okay, no, wait, don't set a precedent. That's not fair. I read tarot cards for exposure. No.
No, that's true. That's true. But I've always kind of looked at it as sort of like kind of a therapy session. Like, I don't necessarily, this is my personal opinion, I don't necessarily believe that the cards are telling me about my future or anything, or can tell me about events that are going to happen or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do think that what you bring to the table, your interpretation of what the cards say or indicate, and what the person who's reading them for you tells you, I think that the way that you see that in like relation to your own life can be... it can help you with introspection.
Yeah.
It can help you with like self-realization. It can really help you kind of maybe unlock some of those things that you already knew on some level about mm-hmm. yourself or about your life or about decisions you needed to make, but weren't ready to see or accept. And I think that there are a lot of different tools you can use to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we think of as traditional therapy can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Great, obviously. But I also think that some people can interact with things like that to do that. And I can see where an astrological reading could also kind of like, this is a quality that in theory I possess, but I don't feel like I embrace that or I allow it to help me the way it could.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that like, I am supposed to be very confident based on my sign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be arrogant even.
An Aries.
Arrogant, yes.
Yes, and I would say that I was never like that when I was younger. As I've gotten older, I have tried harder to embrace that part of myself.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it's because of my astrological sign that yeah. I embraced it, or because, like, I'm an Aries. I should be confident. I am confident now. But I did realize that I had that ability. I just wasn't embracing it. Yeah. I think probably my mastery of a certain subject area helped me a lot more than anything else. But I have embraced that now, and I think it has helped me in my adult life.
Yeah.
So I think astrology can do that.
Yeah. And I mean, even for like, maybe I know that every astrological website I've looked at or app, it's always like, here's the really good parts of being your sign, and yeah. here's the really bad ones. Like, here's your negative personality traits. And I think even for me, it's been like, am I maybe too analytical or judgmental of other people sometimes? Am I maybe too... Sydney is looking, and Taylor just like, oh, are you?
Both of us are like,
yes, I am. And that's something that like you have someone tell you, this is what your sign maybe means to some people, and I'm like, oh shoot, darn, that's me. But like then you could think about those parts of your life, and like even if it's not your stars and like the placement of the planets when you were born determining that personality trait, if you do carry that personality trait, it just happens to fit, it's something you can think about and just like try to avoid in sure. in the future.
Yeah,
well, and I think that this anything that inspires self-evaluation is not to be written off, and a lot of these yes. things that Because it's funny, I remember doing, and I don't know, like, I feel like I've mentioned this before, like, my weird teen rebellion, because our mother is a very lovely person, always was very into astrology and analysis. I remember yeah. doing a report in my astronomy class about disproving astrology based on the things that people would claim astrology, how they affects us, like magnetic fields or like gravitational pulls from planets when you're born affect
yeah.
like you in the like uterus, and that's how you become what you are, and like proving like a microwave has more effect on us, like you know, a tree outside of your delivery room has more gravitational pull than Pluto, and that's all
cool. How could you like, do that to our mother?
I know, I feel I regret that, like if I, like other teens like had serious rebellion, my rebellion was that I did a PowerPoint presentation disproving astrology. That's what I did, and I feel very sorry about that now. But you know, I think that, you know, anything that like if this stuff exists, if it doesn't, it's something that I don't think science could quantify. Like, I don't think looking for an explanation. No, of course it can't. But the idea of anything that inspires you to look at yourself, reflect on your actions, and question how to be a better version of yourself, I don't think is bad, because ultimately, I think personality and the way we present ourselves is a construction. It's something that we make. So I think that there aren't these hard rules that like make us exist, but I do think that like considering how you present yourself is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now they should not interfere with medicine, because no. I know I've talked about this on another podcast that I won't name. I've done astrology and medicine, and it has nothing to do with like why you're sick or what medicine would work for you.
No,
or any of that. No. So it should stay far away from medical science.
I think we but other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I agree with you. I think it's like a lot of things that you can just use to help understand yourself and how you interact with the world.
Yeah.
And there's no problem with that.
No.
Especially, I think, when you're kind of in your formative years, Riley.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who you are.
You saying I am?
I am.
Yeah.
But I think that's why you get into it. I mean, I remember getting into that like when I was in my teens, because it made sense. It was something that I could take that was like, this is me. Like, where can I, like, can I build off of that? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's something that you can attach yourself to, which is what yeah. you're looking for when you're a teenager.
Yeah. And I think it definitely, it's like you said, Sid, it helps me like embrace the parts of my personality maybe that I didn't used to feel or like, or like want to represent. Mm-hmm. And use those in the classroom, or like what I want to do with my career, and use them to the best that they can be used, I guess, like make them positive parts of my personality. But I think it's just like, I like learning about myself. And sometimes when you're like a teenager or in college, like your young adult years, you're not very good at learning about yourself just like through introspection entirely on your own. And sometimes it takes things like, I mean, I go to therapy and that helps me learn about myself. And I learn about astrology and that helps me learn about myself. Mm-hmm. I take BuzzFeed quizzes about, you know, which Josie and the Pussycats character I am. Which, by the way, I took one while we were doing this podcast and it told me I was Josie.
Oh,
anyways.
Well.
Those things all help you. They all help you learn about yourself without you having to put in like that initial work of like, let me sit down and think about who I am as a person. It kind of like gives you like a guideline, right? Like your astrological sign, the fact that I'm a Virgo kind of tells me things about myself, and then I can sit down and look at those things and think about myself. It doesn't require as much like deep thought about who I am as a person.
Our human brains need these constructs. You can't just sit down and say, I'm going to ask myself the question, who am I?
Right.
And then slowly I'll uncover the answer.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not that simple.
You need some sort of construct. And I mean, even like how old you are plays into that, and like your age and like the societal standards of like what you should be doing at 18 and what you should be doing at 21 and what you should be doing by the time you're 30. Like all those things play into how you see yourself too, because then, I mean, it's just, it feeds into the whole where you are compared to other people and what you're doing compared to what you should be doing or supposed to be doing. And it's just, astrology is another one of those things. And I think sometimes it's just like a more fun, lighter one of those things than like, oh no, I'm almost 20 and I'm graduating college in less than 2 years. What am I doing with my life? It's a little like easier, lighter, like, oh, I'm a Virgo, and you know. Mm-hmm.
I do think that the aspect of CoStar that allows you to see other people's charts and like compatibility in real time is a little intimidating. Yeah. Like that's the one part of it where it's like, it's funny. I will say my introduction to CoStar was one of my queer friends saying like, this is the new like, what kind of bars do you go to figure out if somebody's queer? It's, do you use CoStar? Now clearly like I have. Now it's caught on enough among my straight friends that I realize it's just a thing that everybody does. But it was very intimidating in that facet. It's like a weird underground queer dating method where it's like, but I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my chart. Yeah. That's how you're going to meet me? No.
Yeah.
That's a little much.
It is a right? lot. It's a little intimidating.
I don't even like people to know the aspect of it.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't want to start with that.
Yeah. I like the aspect of it where you can see based on your friends, like, oh, you're having trouble in your self-confidence today. This is similar to, and then it lists like three of your other friends. It's like, they're also having this. Or like, you're feeling powerful in your work life today. It's like, so are these friends. It's like, oh, look at us go. Look at us guys. Look how good we're doing.
And I think that while like, I can see a lot of, from as a parent, as a sister, as a doctor, I can see a lot of benefits to like connecting people like that.
Yeah.
I could make a lot of arguments on the positive side. I can see the downfalls. I can see the kind of the things that would be worrisome, but I can make a lot of arguments on the positive side there too. But I think that's why, and as a scientist, I feel like this is something I try to stick to a lot. Something doesn't have to be a science to be valid mm-hmm. and important to humans. If your belief system is astrology, and it's a belief you have, it's not based on actual like proven scientific fact. It's just a belief you have, mm-hmm. and that's where it lives in your life. there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's like any other belief system. Yeah. I think that's why the two can both be valid and important, but they're very different. Mm-hmm. Medicine is a science. It's a science that
proven by fact.
Yes, proven by fact and evidence, and it's something that we are learning more about every single day. But it is, when we make decisions in medicine, we do them based on past fact that has shown it is the best decision we can make in this situation. Mm-hmm. That is not what astrology is, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be. I think that's part of what can like make things seem like silly or trite or delegitimize them, is if you're trying to force them into a framework that really they were never made for. Astrology mm-hmm. was never made to be. It shouldn't be a science. It's what people call it, a pseudoscience. Well, it's just not a science at all. Right. Why don't we just call it? It's a belief system, and it's fine.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, important and valid. And we've talked about it as fun for us. For some people, it can be very meaningful and mm-hmm. important, just like any other, what we would think of as more traditional belief system.
Sure.
And they don't have to be sciences to be valid. They don't get to prove truth because mm-hmm. they're belief systems. But they can be your personal truth that you believe very deeply and hold, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's like everything has to be one in order for it to be valid, and it doesn't.
I agree.
For sure.
As long as those belief systems, that's the only thing I would ever worry about, is that even more traditional belief systems, I think, can make people feel constrained and like they can't be their true self.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think anything that allows you to open up to who you could be can also has the potential to close you off from who you are if you believe in it so strongly and follow the rules so closely. I think we see that with a lot of traditional belief systems, which make people feel repressed mm-hmm. and unable to be themselves. And I don't think we see that with astrology as much.
But I do.
I guess it could.
I get what you're saying, because it's like, if you, I don't know, I keep parsing on Scorpios. I'm out of sympathy for them, I only bring it up. But it's like, if you grow up being like, everybody's telling you like, oh no, you're a Scorpio. Like, is there some point where you're just like, yeah, that's right, I'm going to emotionally destroy you because I'm a Scorpio. I can't help it. Like, is the reason we have that as a proven fact just because Scorpios grow up being told that? And they're like, well, what can I do? Like, you can expect it from me anyway. Yeah. I mean,
the flip side of that is, we also remember we used to have that book that was sexual astrology.
Yes. No, I want to forget
still
that.
Has
I
it.
Want to forget that.
And if Scorpios want to see a place where they're redeemed, read the book Sexual Astrology.
But see, that's still unfair to them. It's like, yeah, you're an emotional disaster, but you're good in the bedroom.
I'm just saying, like, it's pretty glowing.
Yeah. Poor Scorpios. I don't know. I'm going to say I commiserate as a boring, boring Capricorn. Like, I'm like, I make art and I do funny voices and I'm an interesting person. I don't know how to do math.
And I would like to say that I'm not always angry.
Yeah, you are.
Well.
It's 2019. We're all angry a little bit all the time.
We are all angry.
I just mean, like, in my entire life, I haven't always been angry. Maybe I have.
No, you're valid.
Yeah. To me, it reminds me, I don't know if you all have done either of these, but it reminds me of like the Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like both of those. I just like taking quizzes and learning about myself. I love taking quizzes. Like, I am an INFJ according to the Myers-Briggs, and I am a type 2 according to the Enneagram, and I am a Virgo with a Virgo moon and a Capricorn rising, and I take all these pieces, and I'm a Ravenclaw and a Gryffindor, and I'm a Josie apparently, and I like, this is who I am, this is my identity, let me tell you about myself. But it's just fun. Like, I think it's fun. And if you're into astrology, CoStar is a cool app. There's also one that one of my roommates showed me called Horos, like the first part of horoscope, like Horos. Mm-hmm. And it tells you, like, this is your chart and the balance of, like, fire and water and earth and air. And also, like, your balance of yin and yang. And it goes a little bit more in depth with, like, your future, like, career path, whatever. Like, how you view career, how you view love, how you view friendships.
I do feel bad that now that, I mean, it's so much easier and cooler now that it's on your phone.
Yeah.
That they're apps. And that certainly would take a lot less time than it used to with a nativity chart.
Yeah.
I remember mom doing those nativity charts, and those take a long time
mm-hmm.
to do the entire thing.
Yeah.
All the numbers and things. And this would be a lot faster. But I do regret that you'll never see those rolled up horoscope things. Do you remember those, Taylor, that they used to sell at like the cash register at a supermarket?
That's right. I guess they don't anymore.
They're like these scrolls. And you could get one for your sign. Mm-hmm. They had all different colored ones, and each sign was a different color. And you would, and they were cheap. They were just, you know, like a less than a buck. Mm-hmm. And you would unroll them, and they're these big long scrolls, and it would tell you about like your sign and like general information, and then like specific for like the next. I don't remember how long they went. Was it the whole year? Or?
I think they were year long. You would get them for the year.
But they always used to have. I remember that every time you checked out at like a drugstore, or a supermarket, or whatever, there were these.
I bet you can find those online somewhere.
Those were fun. Or like the horoscope a day calendars and things. I guess you don't really need those anymore. Or checking the newspaper. Yeah. Does anybody check the newspaper for their horoscope?
Are they even in the newspaper anymore?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I bet you they're in the local paper.
Hmm.
That seems like a local paper thing to keep the horoscopes running.
Hmm. But I do. It's funny. We brought up tarot cards a few times as a psychological tool. And I think it's the same. I think you look at all those things you listed, Riley. It's like, you get all this information that's supposedly given to you about yourself, and the stuff that you attach yourself to, the facts in quotation marks that you attach yourself to about yourself, gives you a window into who you are. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's a constructed identity from, like, offered ideas, which is what we all do anyway.
With music, with absolutely, art, with movies, with books, with school. Yeah. With what?
Yeah, school.
Yeah, with everything, with people around us, people we interact with. Like, I want to be more like that person's trait, and I'm going to try to be more like that. I don't want to be like that person's trait. Maybe less like that. Like, that's how we,
Yeah. And also, now they make makeup palettes about all the astrological signs, and they always know what kind of colors I like as a Virgo. They're always very basic. They're always very neutral.
Oh, I bet Capricorn is just beige.
No, that's usually what Virgo is. It's usually just like brown.
Aries is always red.
Yes.
I do. That is the only toenail polish I ever use. So I don't know. Maybe they're right. Or maybe I did it because they told me. I don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. The only thing we know for sure is that no one should remake The Princess Bride. That's the only thing.
Or The Craft, which is getting a remake. It's already cast.
Oh, no.
It's already cast. It's happening. I thought they were going to do a continuation, which I was here for, but no, they're just remaking the movie.
That's what I thought. No.
Fairuza Balk in that movie is, I don't have enough adjectives to describe how much her performance means and how important and perfect it is and how no one could ever do that.
No.
I mean, lots of good performances, good movie all around, but just as the standout for me.
I agree.
Yeah.
And yes, The Princess Bride never should be remade. I think it is the only issue that has united us all. No matter what else we believe or how terrible or wonderful any of us are, we all agree on one thing, Hollywood. Please don't remake The Princess Bride.
Please don't remake The Princess Bride. Please.
Can someone campaign on that platform so we get a different president? Can someone take that up? Because you'll win. It's apparently the one thing we can agree on.
Taylor, that's such a scary proposition because I was looking through Twitter to see like all the people who were saying the same thing I was, which is please don't do this. Please do not do this. And among them was Ted Cruz.
I was
like, no.
No.
No. There can't be something that Ted Cruz and I are on the same side of.
Oh, no.
This can't have happened.
But that's it. See, there you go. That's the thing that we'll reach across the aisles for. It's The Princess Bride.
We couldn't get behind stopping the planet from burning, but we could get behind.
And that's why the planet deserves to burn.
Yep.
That was dark. I apologize.
No, we don't mean that. We just really love The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Would rather not see it remade, please. Make a new movie about something else.
Or Buttercup's Baby. No, don't even. I think that. No. It's funnier.
So they just got sad.
It's funnier as a joke.
He never finished.
Well, there never was one, Sid. That was one of the end jokes, right? The meta humor of the book?
He wrote a chapter.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, there was one chapter at the end of one of the... Yeah. I have like five copies.
At the end of the edition. The edition you gave me has it at the end.
Yes, I have multiple editions, and one of them had the first chapter of Buttercup's Baby, Waverly, and then that was it. And now I'm going to cry if I think about this too much.
Just in case anyone's wondering, according to this BH Cosmetics makeup palette, Aries is pink shimmery shadow with a pink matte one. Capricorn is blue, light blue shimmery with a light blue matte.
Oh.
And Virgo is like burnt orange and light orange shimmery.
I never get so, blue. That's nice.
You got blue. Wow.
Well, wow. I've never worn pink in my life.
Now you have to.
So I guess now's the time. All right. Well, thank you, sisters. Go off.
Thank you, sister.
Enjoy your horoscopes today. I hope they're good. I hope the stars align to bring you.
Mine told me to expand my mind today.
Ah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Do you get the co-star updates, like the weird little things that you wake up?
Yeah. I got it like 6 minutes ago.
Sometimes they're really on point. Today, mine was like, when danger is oncoming, trees warn each other through their root system. And I'm like, okay, how is that supposed to tell me like what emails to answer today?
Yeah. That's a cool fact.
It is very cool. Yeah. A lot of mine have to do with trees. I don't know what that's about.
Trees.
I like trees.
Relate to the trees.
I also like podcasts. And if you like podcasts, you should go to MaximumFun.org. And go listen to some podcasts while you contemplate trees. Or share them. Or whatever. Trees are great. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, listeners. You can tweet at us at StillBuff all of your great tree facts. Oh, you can email us great tree facts.
Pro tree.
Still buffering.
What is happening?
Still buffering at MaximumFun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. I guess being pro-tree is something that no one should get mad at us for.
We should all be pro-tree.
Yeah, we're all pro-tree, right? Yeah.
Across the board.
Earth's lungs.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Courtney Enlow.
I'm Brent Black, and we're the hosts of Trends Like These.
Trends Like These is an internet news show where we take the stories trending on social media and go beyond the headlines.
We'll give you the actual facts of the story and not just the knee-jerk reactions.
Plus, we end every episode with a ray of hope that we call the Wi-Fi of the week.
So join us every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trends Like These. Real-life friends talking internet trends.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.